This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Father, we thank you, God, for the word of God. You said in your word that we should make your word a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathways, that we might hide your words in our hearts, that we might not sin against God. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everyone say amen.
Amen.
Just turn to your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
As if you didn't already know. Make sure the other neighbor understands the message this morning and say, neighbor,
shake.
If they're asleep, just wake them up. Just give them a good shake. It's all right. Just shake him, all right? Wake them up and say, neighbor, as if you didn't already know. You know, if you ever had an experience where someone has told you something, they said they were going to do something for you, and, you know, you just doubted it all the way. Anybody ever been in that position before where someone told you they were going to do something for you, and you know what, you just doubted all the way, and they might have came through or they might not have come through, but the reality is from the point that they told you that they would do it, you really didn't believe it. You thought it might be a possibility, but you said, you know what, it may happen and it may did not happen, but regardless of whether it happens or not, you're still a cool guy and we like you. And the disciples had this kind of situation with Jesus. They loved Jesus. They loved the miracles that Jesus did. Jesus did some awesome stuff that nobody else could do. He could raise the dead. He could open the blinded eyes. He caused the lame to walk. Bro could walk on water. Bro could do some stuff that nobody else could do. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, everybody was upset in Jerusalem and everywhere he went because of the fact that Jesus could do stuff that nobody else could do. So the disciples of Jesus followed Jesus because they believed that he was at least a prophet. He was a man sent from God. And Peter himself said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And even after he said that unto him, Jesus replied, says, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So they understood that Jesus was an awesome, at least man, but they also understood that he was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the one that was to come to redeem the world from their sins. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
During this time, we talked about last week that during these 40-day period after the resurrection, we're going to be dealing with the events that occurred after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everybody know that Jesus died? Where you at? Everybody know Jesus died? All right. How many people believe that Jesus was buried? All right. How many people believe that Jesus rose again? All right. How many people believe he's coming back? It seemed like, it's funny because as I asked those questions, fewer and fewer hands went up as we got towards the critical subject. When we got to the critical subject of him being resurrected from the dead, hands kind of, you know, maybe we give him an elbow or something, but because of the fact that it's a concept that is really hard to understand or grasp hold of someone dying and someone resurrecting from the dead and then someone coming back again. You have to really grab it in your spirit and believe in your heart and your mind and your soul that not only did Jesus die, that he rose again and he's coming back. But if you think about it, disciples, just like you and I, had a challenge with this concept of someone being resurrected from the dead, that he was the Christ, the Messiah, that he was coming back again and he was going to come back to receive us unto himself. Now, the resurrection had occurred. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and another woman named Joanna, and the other woman had went to the tomb where Jesus was. They saw that he had been resurrected from the dead, that he was not here. He was not here. Don't worry about that. That don't even worry about that. Dex can handle that stuff. But Jesus had resurrected himself from the dead. He had got up from the dead with all power in his hands. Mary and all the women had seen that he had gone. He had risen. They had saw the spirit of Jesus, and they saw him, and he had declared to him that I have risen from the dead. Go and tell the disciples. Now, Mary and the women, they went to tell the disciples, and we find as we get to our chapter in verse 12 of the 24th chapter, we find that Peter had went to the tomb and saw the linen clothes that Jesus had wore during his burial that was laid in the tomb. There were clothes there, but there was no Jesus. There was no body. Now they know the body is not there. They know that Jesus is not. The clothes are there. They heard word that Mary and the other woman had saw the resurrected Christ, but they still had trouble believing this thing. I mean, I don't put no blame on the disciples. I mean, when you think about it, before I had came to know Jesus, I had trouble kind of saying, understanding. What are you talking about? Somebody got up from the dead. Yeah, I understand somebody died for my sins, but you're talking about them resurrecting from the dead. There was a stone there. And there were soldiers going. Somebody had to see something. But Jesus had resurrected from the dead. Now there was two disciples, and they were in a village called Emmaus. Emmaus, as we get down to about the 17th verse, it was in the city of Emmaus, they were there, the two disciples. And they began to talk with one another about the events that occurred. Now Jesus slid up in a conversation. But he slid up to them unaware that he did not announce himself that he was Jesus. As a matter of fact, he did not make it known to him that it was he, Jesus, who had resurrected from the dead. And he began to talk to them. And they said, well, what's going on? What are you talking about? And the disciples responded to who they did not know was Jesus. What do you mean? You haven't heard what has gone on? That Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, he was crucified on a cross on Calvary, and he was buried in a tomb. Have you heard the events? Have you heard the news? Have you heard the word on the street that Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, had died on the cross, and now we have found out that his body is not at the place where they had laid him? And they were sad. They were sad. They were discouraged at this fact. As we move down towards the 17th through the 26th verse, we want to read through that very quickly. And he said, and Jesus said unto him, what manner of communications or conversations are these that you have one to another? As you walk, are you and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto them, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which have come to pass in these days? And Jesus said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him and commended him unto death and had him crucified. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, certain of the women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the grave. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. In verse 24, it says, and certain of them which were sent that were with us to the sepulchre found even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? After this, it was getting late. It was getting late. After Jesus had responded in a way to those two disciples, it was getting late. And the disciple says, why don't you hang out with us tonight? That's Brian's version of the text, okay? The disciple says, come on over and stay with us during the night. And Jesus, they began to sit down and eat. And Jesus took bread, and he broke it, and he blessed it, and he gave it unto them. And something clicked in their mind, and they realized, and their eyes were open, and they says, it was Jesus. It was Jesus, the one who was dead and had resurrected from the dead. And then Jesus had left, and they said, did not our hearts burn while he walked with us by the wayside? When you have a chance to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, when you have got a chance to experience and know for yourself, it's one thing to hear what other people have said about the resurrection. It's one thing to kind of grab it from an intellectual standpoint and say, you know what, there's a book that says that there was a man named Jesus who lived on this earth and did miracles, who died on the cross, who was buried in a tomb and was resurrected. Sounds like a good story. And a lot of us take that in just like that, that it's just a good story, that God was a good book writer. But it's more than just a good story. When you have a chance to experience the fact that Jesus died on the cross, and he was buried and he rose again, and you can experience the resurrected life of Christ in yourself, that his spirit, you allow his spirit to indwell in you and to empower you, and you can wake up in the morning and sing that song that Christ the Savior is risen today. I don't need to hear about what everybody else has to say. I know that he died for me. He was buried for me, and he was rose again, and he did it for me, and he's coming back for me. It has nothing to do with anybody else. He did it just for me. If there was no one else on this earth, if I was here by myself and I understood that because of the sins that I had done, because of the original sin that Adam has passed on to me, that Jesus Christ died and he rose again, I know I can experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead for myself. That's something to be excited about, because Christ died and he rose again. And the disciples, as they experienced him breaking bread, and he blessed it and gave it to them, they said, didn't our hearts burn? Because we experienced for ourselves the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Somebody ought to thank God this morning for the resurrection. If nothing else, you know what? We can debate about a lot of stuff. We can debate whether or not we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or baptize in the name of Jesus. We can debate whether we decide to wear white robes or black robes or pink robes or whatever color floats your boat. We can determine whether we walk around and give the offering or drop it in a box. We can debate those things, but one thing that cannot be debated is the fact that Jesus died, and he was buried, and he rose again, and he got up with all power in his hands. If you don't believe it, that's your issue. But I've experienced the resurrection in my life, because I was dead in my sins. I was walking far away from God. But then God redeemed me. And since I have been redeemed, I know that the resurrection was an actual fact and it happened. Somebody ought to say hallelujah this morning. Oh, bless his name. Now, y'all got to keep it, but I get excited when I think about the resurrection, the fact that he died for my sins and was resurrected from the cross. Well, there's four things that we must understand that makes the resurrection real to us. What makes the resurrection real? How can we show that the resurrection already occurred so that we can experience it in our lives? The first thing we have to understand is that he proved that he rose. He proved that he rose. You know, I was tickled, in fact, Brother Desmond, he wanted to put on a robe this morning, and he was already baptized last month. But his mama said that she wanted to see proof. She wanted to see proof that he was baptized. So he got his robe on. And he took a picture, and he's taking the picture back to his mama so he can show her proof that he was baptized. Jesus showed us proof that he was resurrected. Let's look at Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 37 to 39. And it says, and as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto him, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and they supposed that they had seen a spirit. Now Jesus is in front of them. He's right there. He's right there. He's saying, peace be unto you. But they say, wait a second. This must be a spirit. This is not the actual Jesus. This is not the one that resurrected from the... This is just his spirit. This ain't Jesus. It's just his spirit. This is what they said. And then Jesus said, why are you troubled? And why do the thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself, handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye have seen me. He says, here's my hands. And if you remember in our text last week when we dealt with the book of John, Thomas himself stuck his finger in his nail prints. He stuck his hands in his sides. Jesus was there in the flesh. That's the first proof that he provided to us. The second thing is in verse 41 to 43. It says, "And while they yet believed, not for joy, but they wondered, he said unto them, You got anything to eat? Have you any meat? And they gave him a broiled fish and a honeycomb and took it and did eat before them." Now, have y'all ever seen a spirit eat a piece of fish? He proved this to them. He says, here's my hands, here's my feet, here's my side. And not only that, let me show you something the spirit can't do. I'm going to bust a grub right in front of you. He proved the fact that he was here. The second thing we must understand in order to make the resurrection real to us is that he already told you that the resurrection would occur. He already, as if you didn't know, that's our message for today, as if you already didn't know it, let me show it to you anyway. He says, he already told you that the resurrection would occur. In verse 44 of our text, in chapter 24, he says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written of the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." In John, the second chapter, verse 18 and 19, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, or destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Matthew 12 and 40, it says, "For as Jonas was there 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Psalm 16, verse 10 to 11, "For thou wilt leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in the presence of fullness of joy, at the right hand there are pleasures forevermore." He says, not only am I going to prove it to you, but also I told you already before that I was going to die, I was going to be buried, and I was going to be resurrected. There's four things that we must understand in order to make the resurrection real to us. The first thing is that he proved that he rose. The second thing is that he already told you that the resurrection would occur. The third thing that we must understand is that it was purposeful for the resurrection to occur. It was purposeful. Luke 24, verse 46 to 47. It says, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, at that the repentance and the remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." The reason why Jesus Christ had to die on the cross for our sins, and the reason that he had to be resurrected, is for the purpose that the remissions of sins could be preached not only in Jerusalem, but through all the nations. So everybody could have an answer to their sin. I have sinned. I've fallen short of God's glory. You have sinned. And if you think you have not sinned, I got scripture to back up that you did sin. It says Romans 3 and 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us have sinned. And the purpose of the reason why Jesus had to die on the cross, and not only die, but also be resurrected, was for the purpose that the remissions of sin, or the removal of our sinful nature, can be taken away from us. God died. Jesus died for the purpose of you having a right to the tree of life, but he resurrected so that you can have everlasting life. It was purposeful. It was purposeful. That was the third thing. The fourth thing is that he's got something else to give us. He's got something else to give us. You know, if the story ended at the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried in a tomb, and he rose up from the dead, and he went unto heaven and left us here, that'd be just cold. That would be just cold. But Jesus says, "I have something else for you. I have my spirit." He says, "I go away to prepare a place for you, that I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." But also he says, "I will not leave you comfortless." He says, "But I will leave you my spirit." And he says, "I am with you right now, but I shall be in you." His spirit, when Jesus was here on earth, he was full of the Holy Spirit. And he said to his disciples, "The Holy Spirit is already with you because I am with you." He says, "But I'm getting up out of here, I'm going to die, I'm going to be resurrected from the grave, and I'm going up, and then I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send my spirit," and that is the Holy Spirit. When you accept Jesus Christ in your life, Jesus does not jump inside your body. Matter of fact, I like to see that happen if Jesus himself came down and tried to fit inside your heart. He's not going to fit inside your heart. His Spirit comes inside your heart, the Holy Spirit which he has given. And that's what we use to live by so that we can live a resurrected life. To experience the resurrection, and even if you thought you knew, but if you didn't know, Jesus did die, he was buried, and he was resurrected, and he's coming back again. But the purpose of him coming back on his way back before he gets here, he has left his Spirit to indwell in you. Our last verse for today is found in Luke 24 and 49. It says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." The first 40 days that we have dealt with from the time of Jesus' resurrection until the time of the day of Pentecost is 50 days. Those first 40 days are discovering the events that occurred after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. These are one of those events that we discussed today, that at the village of Emmaus, that there was two disciples there, and they experienced Jesus, of him being resurrected from the grave. They saw that he broke bread and he blessed it and he gave it to them. And he says, "I am the resurrected Christ." He came back to them and he said, "Peace be unto you." And he says, "Here's my hands, here's my feet, here's my side, you can touch it. Not only that, I'm going to prove to you that I've resurrected, I'm going to eat right here in front of you. And I'm going to show you that I am the resurrected Christ." He says, "Not only that, I want to show you also that I died for a purpose, and I'm also coming back. But while I'm gone, I have my Spirit to leave with you." As if you already didn't know, Jesus has resurrected from the dead. You see a hand here. Is anyone else? There's another hand back there, and there's another hand. There's another hand there. We want to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We thank God for those hands today. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. This prayer is no magic trick. It's no hocus pocus. It's your commitment that you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to live in me. In Jesus' name, let everyone say amen."
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world, to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.